Turn to Psalms 44. Psalms 44, and we'll begin with verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, and our fathers told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. And I've preached on that verse a time or two. I may have even preached it here. We get reminiscent sometimes, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. We need to remember. We need to look back. We need to review history, or we'll make the same mistakes over and over again. And it's good to look back, and it's good to have something to look back on. Brother Chris and I were talking this morning over breakfast how that we fear that there are some in our churches that don't really know the history of even the last 20 or 30 years in our churches, and some of the struggles that our fellowships have gone through, and some of the things that they've pulled out of, and some of the things that they fought against, and how that when they did, God blessed in mighty ways. And a lot of people don't know those stories and hadn't heard those stories. And I said to Brother Chris, I said, maybe we know them because we were called to preach, and we wanted to hear them over and over again, and we wanted to listen to them, and we wanted to know about the things that God has done. And it's good for us to look back. Notice what he said there. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou.
Amen.
Thou. And that word stands out. What work thou didst in their days. It was the work of the Lord. Verse 2, how thou didst. We heard about thou, we heard about how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, and how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. It was the work of the Lord. They looked back on better days, they looked back at the mighty things that God had done, and the psalmist here looks back and says, we've heard what you did back in those days. And it's good for us. I miss a lot of the men that have gone on very much. I was young, but I admired them a lot. The Lord touched my heart at a young age to the truth. And even though I was young and they were older and many of them left the scene far too early for me, I had great admiration for them. I held them in great respect and great regard, and the number is shrinking all the time. It's dwindling, it's fading, and it's good for us to remember them, but we need to remember the work that the Lord did. How thou, the work of the Lord, how thou. And he goes on in verse 3, he says, for they got not. It wasn't them. It wasn't their work that did it. They got not the land in possession by their. It wasn't by their. It wasn't by they. It wasn't by their. Neither did their own arm save them.
No.
But thy. But thy. It was you. Thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance. It was thy and thy and thy. It was not they and their. It was thy and thou. And then he says, he makes a conclusion. After he looks back and after he reminisces and after he looks at all that God has done, and we have a lot more history to look at than the psalmist. The history up until that point was not that much. We've got over double the history to look back at and go, wow, look what God has done. We can look at what the psalmist looked at, and we can look at everything he did from the psalmist on, and we can look back and say, look what you have done, O Lord. Look what you have accomplished. And then he makes a statement in verse 4. Thou art my king, O God. just as you were theirs, just as they looked to you, just as you were their leader, you're my leader now. And he makes a request. He says, command deliverances for Jacob. Command this work. Make this work happen. Command deliverances for Jacob. And I want to preach on deliverance this morning. But I want to read some of the rest of the verses while we're here. Command deliverances for Jacob. And then he paints an image of what it will be like when God commands. When God makes these things happen. Our church says to us all the time, oh, Pastor, we appreciate you so much. Things are just so great since you're here. And I remind them all the time. I said, I don't do anything different than I've ever done anywhere. It's the Lord that makes the difference. To have anything to do with me. And the minute I think that, he'll dangle me out there by myself and remind me, look what you do by yourself. Oh, yeah, it's not very good. It's not very good what you do by yourself. It's through me. And so he paints a picture in the next couple of verses of what it will be like when God commands. Verse 5, through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thee we will. Oh, think of all the self-effort we put into our own lives. Bookstores are filled with self-help books. Think of all the self-reformation attempts. All of the self-revival attempts. All of the self-attempts. But he says, through thee, we will. Through thee, we will. On our own, nothing's going to happen. But through thee, we will. Lord, if you command deliverances, through thee, we will push down our enemies. Through thy name, will we tread them under that rise up against us. Through thee, we will. For I will not trust in my bow. He carried his bow. But he didn't trust in his bow. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. They can't get that straight. When I was in Michigan, I had a CPL. I carried my gun. I trusted in the Lord. The Lord told his disciples, he that has an extra coat, let him sell it and buy a sword. But we trust in the Lord. I will not trust in my bow, neither will my sword save me, but thou. But thou, thou hast saved us from our enemies. Thou hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. We will find such peace and joy when we look to the Lord, when we boast in the Lord. But when we are focused on what we can accomplish, what I can do, you know, that was the Jacob way. His name means supplanter. He's conniving. He's scheming. He's trying to do it his way. But thou, through thee, we will. Through the Lord, we will. I want to preach this morning on that word there in verse 4. He said, command. He prayed that God would command deliverances for Jacob, that God would force, that God would cause, that God would make deliverances happen. When we think about deliverance, there's several things that just go along with that. First of all, it means that there's a circumstance. There's a circumstance. And life is filled with circumstances. We have circumstances in our lives. We have circumstances in our hearts. There's all kinds of circumstances that we need to be taken out of in our life. Psalm 70, verse 5, if you'll turn there, not too many pages away. David says, but I am poor and needy. Now, he was king of Israel. He wasn't physically poor. He was talking about his spiritual / emotional condition. I am poor and needy. Lord, I'm very needy. I need you very much. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my deliverer. Deliverer. We've looked at the word deliverance a little bit, but the word deliverer signifies that's what he does. That's what he does. If I said, I'm an electrician, you would understand that every day, that's what I do. That's my expertise. That is my field of expertise. If I said, I'm a plumber, you would understand that that would be my field of expertise. That is what I focus upon. That is what I do every day. You know, sometimes somebody may call on me to do something, and it may be outside my area of expertise. I'll say, well, I'll give that a try. I can be kind of handy in some things. I'll try to do that, but that's outside my area of expertise. It's not what I do. But when you say that you're a plumber, when you say that you're an electrician, when you say make a statement like that, you're saying that is what I do. That is what I do. This is my field of expertise. This is what I concentrate on. This is my passion. This is what I do day in and day out. He said, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, for thou art my help and my deliverer. My deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Again, he was in a situation. We see the situation. He says, I'm poor and needy. Spiritually, poor and needy. That was what he needed deliverance from. Understand that God is a deliverer. He specializes in taking people out of the situation that they're in. Why are so many people still in the situation that they're in? They've tried very hard. They've done a lot of things. Maybe they've gone to church for a little while. Maybe they tried a new devotional series. Maybe they tried reading a little more. Maybe they tried to pick up an exercise routine. Maybe they tried changing friends, changing geography. They need a deliverer. They need someone. What a blessed thought, a deliverer. The idea that there's somebody else can just come along and pull us out. Brother Thomas is here. When he was younger and working third shift, he called me in the middle of the night about 3 o'clock in the morning one time. He'd buried his Jeep in about 3 feet of snow on the side of the road. And he said, can you come and get me? And so I had a strap and a truck, and I came and got him. It's wonderful to just be delivered. It's wonderful when someone can take over and just solve the issue. And that is the kind of faith, resting in the Lord, leaning upon that deliverer and just saying, I'm going to let you take care of this. He is a deliverer. It is the scope of what he does. It's not a side thing. I don't run a record company, and I'm not very good at it, and we might damage something. But that's not the way God is. He is a deliverer. It is what he does. Fetching his people out of circumstances is the whole message of the Bible. Fetching them out of Egypt, delivering them from their situations, from their own filth, from their own issues. It's what he does. He is a deliverer. While we're here in Psalms, turn with me to Psalm 32. The situation in Psalms 32 is sin. It begins in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What a blessing to not have God lay sin to our charge. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. conviction. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Satan wants to say, oh, you can't talk to God right now. You need to clean things up a bit. The psalmist says, for this shall everyone pray. In a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Surrounding me with songs of deliverance. He's there in whatever issue, whatever situation you're in, with a song. And that just seems so foreign to us. We've been trained by the world to think of this very hardened old man somewhere looking down upon the earth. We've been trained that way. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. All of the comfort that you need is there. Everything that you need, emotionally, physically, thou shalt compass me about. You know, when Thomas went in the ditch, he was probably there for a while, digging in the snow, trying to get himself out on his own. You know, that's what we do. That's our nature. We don't want anybody to know about our ditch. I've been in a lot of ditches. You try not to let anybody know that we were there, you know. Kick the snow out of our tires before we get to work. Don't want anybody to know that we were off the road today. We try to hide it. And then after a period of time, he gave up and called me and I came. But in this psalm, he's there in the midst, compassing them about with songs, comfort in their situation and his distress. We went whitewater rafting when I was younger, and whenever there was a bad rapid ahead, they would stop us and say, okay, this one's going to be bad. You need to do this and you need to do that. And despite that, we would still mess up and we would flip and we would get hung up. And so they had placed people all along the way that could literally lasso you out. They could just put a rope on you and yank you out when you went in the water. They were there already. Now don't expect to find anybody waiting for you in the ditch. But God is. He's there. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The psalmist prayed back in our text, Psalm 44, verse 4, command deliverances. It's been commanded. Deliverance has been foreordained. And the Lord answered the psalmist's prayer, Psalm 44, we notice, turn with me if you will to Job chapter number 2. We see God issuing a command. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It's written. It's commanded. Thou shalt, as we read in the commandments, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It's already been set up. The program is already in place that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, looking for deliverance, realizing they have a situation, we know that no man can come. Lest certain things happen. They have to realize they're in a situation. They have to realize that the Lord is the deliverer. You're not going to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved unless you realize that He's the deliverer. That He is the one that can get you out of the issue that you're in. You're not going to call upon Him unless you realize there's a situation, and the situation's bad. You're not going to call upon Him for deliverance unless you realize that you can't fix the situation. You can't do it. You can dig and dig and dig, but you're not getting out of the ditch. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What a blessing. The commanded, the foreordained deliverance of God for every situation of life. For everything. God is a deliverer. It's within the scope of His practice. It's what He does. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance. I will have it that way. There will be deliverance from me. As the Lord hath said, as He commanded, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. Turn with me to the New Testament. This is where this same passage is quoted. Romans chapter 11. In reference to that passage in Joel concerning the salvation of Israel and deliverance for Jacob. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Jesus Christ is the deliverer. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He won't try. When Thomas called me in the middle of the night, I said, all I can do is try. We'll try. I don't know what else to tell you. No, Jesus doesn't try. He doesn't hope to. He's not wishing. He shall. We have a lawyer in our church. I asked him, I said, what's the difference between will and shall? He said, shall has to happen. It has to happen. There's no other choice. He said, we always use shall in contracts. It has to happen. It must. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by Him, doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other deliverance. There is no other salvation. Again, salvation indicates that there's a situation that you need to be saved from. And in this passage it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other deliverance. There is no other saving. I like what Boaz says to Ruth. And his name is a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. Again, that also signifies a situation, bringing someone out of a situation. But he says to her, go not to any other field. He further goes on to say, let thine eyes be only on this field. Don't even look at the other fields. Just stay right here. Stay right here. Don't trust in anything else. Don't look to anything else. Don't lean on anything else. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But oh, we look, don't we? In the book of Jeremiah, he says, ye have committed two evils. You've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns which can hold no water. Churches in mass have dug out cisterns. Even though we've heard with our ears what thou hast done in days of old, with your power, with your arm, with your might, even though we've heard all of that, we still dig out cisterns. We still try compromise. We still try closing our eyes to different things, and it doesn't work. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other deliverance. There's no other redeemer. It is the scope of what he does. It's not a side thing. It's not an inconvenience. When we were rafting and they would rope us out of the river, even though they had told us ahead of time what would happen, they didn't rope us out and say, you idiot, what are you doing? They didn't act inconvenienced by it. It was their job. Their job was to stand along the way and rope out inexperienced rafters all along the way. It was the plan. It was a plan set up before we ever got in the river. That they would be there in those places and they would rope us out. And that's the way it is with the Lord. It's not an inconvenience. We're not waking him up in the middle of the night. I'm still bitter at Thomas. Now I have my own kids to wake me up in the middle of the night. He just made the process even longer. I had to start earlier. But it's not that way. It's what he does. When Jesus gives the analogy of the son coming to his father for bread, will he give him a stone? Will he give him a serpent? No, it's what parents do. It's just what parents do. Parents just love their kids. Parents just yearn for their kids. It's what it is to be a parent. Well, this is what it is for God to be a redeemer, to be a deliverer. One of the problems that God points out in the book of Jeremiah is that what defined that day, what defined the downfall of that day is that nobody said, where's the Lord? Not even the priests or the prophets, nobody said, where's the Lord? We remember everything that used to happen when God was around, but nobody says, where is He? Where is He at? There are churches where nobody says, where's the Lord? There are homes where nobody says, where's the Lord? Where is His presence? Where did it go? Something's missing. You know, we read in the book of Revelation that candlestick disappearing. I think of how scary it was when we read in the book of Judges about Samson, and it says that the power of God had departed from him and he wist not. It was gone, and it never occurred to him that the power was gone. He thought he would rise up and do like before. He thought he would. But he wist not that God had departed from him. And so we have seen and we have heard with our ears the things that God can do. We know not only can He do them, but that we read that it's commanded. We also read and understand that it is who He is. He is a Redeemer. Atheists always want to say to me, don't you know slavery is in the Bible? I say, no, slavery is the point of the Bible. I was a slave. God bought me. That's redemption. I had a debt. I couldn't pay it. I became a slave. God bought me. That's the point of the Bible. It's not just in the Bible. It's the point of it. He's a Redeemer. He's a Deliverer. He's a Savior. It is the scope of what He does. It's part of who He is. call upon the Lord. It's been commanded, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Whatever you're in, if you're lost this morning, look to the Redeemer. It's what He does. It's His job. Is your life a wreck? Look to the Deliverer. Are you in a situation? Do you feel as though you just can't breathe? I don't know how many times I've gotten to the place where I say, Lord, I don't feel like I can breathe. Either the crushing weight of finances that at times have come upon me, and the Lord is merciful. Usually it's just one thing at a time, you know. The crushing weight of continuous health issues and doctor's visits and living in a hospital. Sometimes we're like, Lord, I can't hardly breathe. I just need some normal. And when I get to the place many times where I can't hardly take anymore, and I cry out to Him, and it's like He says, peace be still. It just like the disciples on the water, it just goes away. Everything just goes away. I don't know how many times. We've had three different children hospitalized this year. And at times we feel like we just can't take it anymore, and God says, peace be still. He's a deliverer. Whatever you're in, whatever you're facing, it may be deep down in your heart. I don't know. It may be like the psalmist. He was wrestling with his own sin and his own humanity. He's a deliverer. It's what He does. Don't be afraid to call upon Him. This shall everyone that is godly pray. Pray for deliverance. Thank you.